Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, Stone, have you warmed up from last night yet?
And not quite, but I must say you look remarkably well-rested for the work that you put in last night. But no, it was a lot of fun. We made some new friends, caught up with some old ones, and it's such a bright, articulate, passionate group of folks in that healthcare IT ecosystem here in town. And I don't think it's just marketing. I think we really are the healthcare IT capital of the world, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the people we spoke to, Tino from TAG and David Hartnett from the Metro Chamber, they were both very proud of the accomplishment of those two groups, especially to be the catalyst for that event. It's been, I think, 5 or 6 years now. And I think there's about 1,300 healthcare IT companies in the Metro Atlanta area. A large concentration of them, surprisingly, is in the Alpharetta area. And we got to meet with some of them, talk to some of the people that were involved in the event. And it's been exciting over the last few years that we've been there to see it grow dramatically. I mean, they outgrew their original location for the summit, which was the Fox, and now they're over at the Waverly. So kudos to them.
So the experience was fantastic, but I think probably pales in comparison to what we're going to do this morning.
Now, this is what I'm really excited about.
No, this is going to be a fantastic segment. We have with us from Aclaro Inc., Ryan St. John and Charlie Porter. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Now, Ryan, why don't you start off and kind of explain what you guys are up to?
Yeah, absolutely. So Aclaro is a marketing advertising agency. We're unique in that we have a marketing advertising group. We also have a brand immersion group. So that's, I think, what we're primarily talking about today is how do we translate a brand, a company's brand, into a three-dimensional environment.
And how'd you get started in this business?
It's 11 years ago. I get tired every time I say that, I think. But
because it changes. It was 10 years ago last year.
10 years ago yesterday, I think. Yeah, exactly. But 11 years ago, started as a graphic designer and then kind of made my way into this more of the agency world and agency strategy, and that kind of just fell into the event side, too.
So. Now, were you working in large agencies or small, mid-sized agencies?
Prior to that, no agency experience at all. Yeah, it was straight startup. Exactly. Yeah, I'm a risk taker, so it was a good opportunity, but...
So what was your first client experience like?
Yeah, first, it's funny you guys talk about HIT. My first true marketing client was McKesson, actually.
Oh, there you go. So, that's a good one to start with.
Yeah, exactly. Not a bad way to start.
Right.
Yeah, so McKesson, we did a lot of graphic design work for them, a lot of digital work for them, and just kind of over the process of time started getting into more of the strategy pieces. Mm-hmm. And we did such a good job with that from their perspective that they really asked us to take over their events. So that was one of the big first engagements we did for them is they came to us and said, okay, we have this brand of Relay Health. It's one of their subsidiaries.
Right.
How do we translate this brand into a three-dimensional environment for our trade shows? Mm-hmm. So that was really our first forte.
So now, how did you go about doing that? How do you translate a kind of a two-dimensional brand into a three-dimensional event?
Yeah, it's a great question. So at Aclaro, we always start with the brand aspirations and tenets. There's always those tenets, those things that most companies have with an HIT that's similar, maybe great technology, great service.
And innovation.
Those are important parts.
Right.
Innovation, right. Exactly. But then there's aspirations, those things that they really want to be about that are unique to Relay Health. You know, they talk a lot about health connections brought to life. They talk a lot about just the openness of their network.
Uh-huh.
So you start to look for some of those key words, and you take that and then translate it into some of that structure. So if you look at some of their booth properties, if you look at their trade show program, their space is very open. Most exhibits are very closed in. They've got a lot of pieces, a lot of fixtures. It feels very tight and closed in.
Right, like claustrophobic.
So this open thing, this is the Ryan methodology, right, that they're still benefiting from.
Yes. We'll go with that. In fact, to that point, at the last show, they had somebody come up to their into their booth and said, I know what you guys do. I love what you guys do. I don't need your product or service, but your space felt so unique to me. Yes. I had to stand in the space. I was like, that's what we're talking about. So it translates into more time in their space.
Right. But, which is one of their objectives, is to attract people into the space.
Yeah, attract people in the space. Exactly. So
now you mentioned you started with healthcare IT. Have you moved on from there and you do additional niches?
Yeah, it's primarily healthcare IT, although we have some businesses within education and finance, some of those verticals, as well as some consumer brands like Clubcar, for example. So those are more on the agency side of the business. But
so what kind of lead time do you need to properly counsel a new client and get them up and running on an effective program like this? Because this is not something you throw together in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so it's actually a great question with Charlie sitting here next to me.
I thought it was a fantastic question.
Charlie's view of it is very different than my view of
okay.
it. So
we do have differences of opinions.
So. Yeah. Being the owner and the kind of the sales guy, I would tell you, like 3 hours.
Right.
3 hours, we're good. We can get it done.
Sounds doable, right?
Exactly.
There's a lot of yeses coming out of you, right?
No, totally fine. In fact, we actually had a client 2 weeks ago that said, hey, can you guys support us globally? And of course, the first thing out of my mouth was, absolutely. We got you covered.
Sure.
And, you know, Charlie, his eyes will back into his head, he's freaking out a little bit. So,
all right, Charlie, let's get the right answer.
What's the right answer? Yeah.
Well, the right answer is you have to recognize that most companies they plan for trade shows at the last minute.
Is that true? Because somebody told me like, we know what shows we're going to 5 years in advance.
They know the shows, but they don't know what they're doing once they get there. And I think that's probably the key distinction. A lot of what we do is we have to manage the company's, I'll say chaos, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but they have so many things they're doing.
Right.
And trade shows kind of fall way down the list of in terms of importance. But yet it becomes very important once they're there.
Exactly.
So part of our job is to support them in ways that help them acknowledge that they've got to get started on this thing. And let us help them develop those solutions that they need for to attract the audience, as you said earlier. That's one of the keys to any trade show experience.
And you try to watch their back so they can focus on selling stuff, and so they don't have to worry about kind of the logistics and what's happening exactly in the booth.
Well, yeah. I mean, companies know their brand. They know their culture. They know their brand. They know their competition. They don't always know what the drivers are that's actually going to get them the results they're looking for.
Right.
I think sometimes you have to step away from the forest, as a metaphor. And that's kind of what we bring to the conversation. We understand what works in a show and what works before the show and also what works after the show.
Right, because you can't look at the show as just the show, right? There's a whole continuum of time, a pre-show, during the show, post-show, that you want to engage your audience with, right?
Oh, you're exactly right. And then you go back to your earlier question about how far in advance, you know, ideally probably 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We should be starting to implement some of the action items that we've developed. So, I always said, you know, just because you build it, they will not come. It's not like a baseball field. You can go to the show. There's a lot of noise there. So
right.
One of the keys that we found for effective audience engagement is starting to reach out to those target demographics up front in the right way so that by the time they get to the show, they actually want to come and see you.
Right. They're looking forward to coming to see you.
They are. So you build that relevancy over time. And then then you have your audience engagement at the show, and then you have your post show. And that's one of the most important elements of any show experience is what you do afterwards.
Right.
And it's another place where a lot of companies fall off. They do a lot of good work in terms of getting the booth and getting it to the show and getting graphics produced and content for AV, et cetera. But the pre and the post, and even the relevancy of what they're putting together sometimes we can challenge that.
Well, I've seen some shows, and I'm sure you agree, that some people just have like a fishbowl and like win an iPad, or some people are just trying to scan everybody's badge. And those, I mean, I can't believe that those are really effective uses of a trade show experience.
No, we feel very strongly about that.
Right. I mean, but
that's
not exactly a handful. There's quite a few.
No, a lot.
You
see that a lot,
don't you?
Don't
you see that?
We see it all the time. Yes, because, you know, trade shows are pretty much an on time and on budget dynamic. You know, they know what they've got to spend. So they look at the structure, they look at some of the costs that they know they're going to have, and all of a sudden they're out of money. And all they have left to spend is for a fishbowl from Target that you drop cards into, and maybe they'll go buy an iPad that they're going to give away, which has no relevancy to their messaging or anything else they're trying to accomplish. It brings a lot of people by to drop their card in, but are those really the target that you're looking for? And that's where I think they miss it sometimes.
Right. I've seen in that environment, the people who are putting their card in the fishbowl is the spouse of the person who is attending the show.
Or the kid. They bring their kids to the show, and it's the kid dropping in their card.
Right. That's like, I need an iPad for school. This is perfect, you know, and that's exactly who the person doesn't want putting their card in. So now, Ryan, is this when you talk about kind of creating this three-dimensional experience, is this what you're trying to fix, these people who are attacking it this way?
Yeah, it really goes back to how we measure success. So to Charlie's point, most companies measure success by on time and on budget. For a lot of our clients, they're looking to drive brand awareness. That's really what the three-dimensional environment is. They're trying to communicate the brand aspirations, again, some of that environment. But then also the quality of the leads. You know, a lead, to your point about the fishbowl, is not just somebody drops their card in. I mean, most of these associations will sell you their list of everybody who attends.
Right, you so get that. That's you get that kind free. Of table so stakes, why you need them right?
Dropped? Exactly. Why would you need the business card on top of that? And so I think as we look at it from maybe the C-suite position is what's the most valuable thing to the executive leadership team, and it's qualified leads, and that's really what's important. And to Charlie's point, that doesn't happen at the show. That happens 6 months, 12 months prior to the show starting.
Right.
That's really what we're trying to do with those environments is trying to set the stage for somebody who already knows qualified to come in and sign a contract, to negotiate a deal, to go to that next level of conversation.
And you're trying to create a more holistic marketing experience, right? That it's not just kind of tacked on to what they're doing marketing-wise. This is everything's working together throughout the year.
Yeah, and that's such a great point. I think a lot of companies tend to look at trade shows as the beginning and the end point.
Right, like it's a bolt-on.
Yeah, exactly. Versus it's one tactic in an integrated plan. That's really how you have to look at it.
And so that's what differentiates you from maybe other agencies, that you are looking at it kind of in this kind of 360-degree view of it?
Yeah, it's really those. It's that. We look at it from a 360-degree view, but we also look at it from a budget standpoint. I mean, most companies, if you look at the line item, is going to be trade shows and events. Huh. And ironically, it's also the line item they have the least visibility into in terms of ROI. Very rarely could you talk to anybody in the company and say, yes, we spent $1 million on shows last year and we got $2 million back from it. That's a lot of what we do with our clients at Aclaro.
So now, how typically before they engage with you, are they measuring success? Are they just looking at number of people who put a card in? Is that one of the measures? Is that true?
Yeah, it's the fishbowl. It's they'll say how many cards do we get from the show, qualified or not, and then the other piece is on time and a budget piece. Do we stay within budget? But neither of those actually translate to business growth.
So, right. So is that so? Part of your challenge is to kind of educate them and to look at this in a slightly different manner.
Yeah, and I think what you end up seeing is that obviously higher up in the organization you get, they're more interested in the business growth piece of it. Lower in the organization, their responsibility is on time and on budget. What we need to do is help translate those two messages back and forth. So we need to help the trade show and event managers speak the language of the C-suite, and we need to help the C-suite understand why on time and on budget is so important to the trade show and event manager.
Mm-hmm. So aren't you guys kind of also a little bit like a quarterback? Like if an organization wants to work with you, you're not in the back room building set designs, right, Charlie? So like yesterday, we had the MPI Georgia leadership here. And you had different providers. You know, you had people who organized events, you had people who build out space. But I'm getting the sense that you guys are like this center contact point. You've cultivated those relationships with best in class and all those arenas. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I think you are. I spent 20 years, the better part of 20 years, doing trade shows and events. And the engagement happens what I call way downstream, that you engage an exhibit house to put a property on the floor. But that property may or may not have a lot to do with what your audience engagement is really about.
Right.
So exhibit houses then, and nothing wrong with them, they serve a purpose and they do a good job. But that's not the place where the action is. So that's where you take an order. For us, we're more collaborative at a higher level.
Yeah.
We really want to find out what you're trying to accomplish. Why are you going to the show in the first place? Is it to be you be noticed by your absence? Is it
actually heard that before. We've had people tell us.
Right, that they have to go or else like it looks like they're going out of business or something, or they have a fear of that.
Right.
And you'll hear a lot of companies say that because of where they place trade shows and events in terms of importance within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
That line item for trade shows is always going to be there. It gets cut when the economy goes down, and I've seen that many times in my career. You have to try to get a company. What we try to do is engage at a level where you actually try to turn that trade show experience into a sales accelerator. for lack of a better term. And we know we can do that. We just have to get the right audience that really wants to take their trade show program to another level and see the real value in it rather than just putting the booth up for 3 days.
Now, can you walk us through what an engagement looks like? Say you have this health IT company that has been going to trade shows. Maybe they have a product that they want to sell to doctors or something, so they're going to doctor trade shows. Do you help them? Can you walk us through what that's like? Do you do some sort of a, I guess, a deep dive to understand really what the pain is?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So our process is four steps. It's planning, analysis, design, development, and execution is basically the four pieces of it. And I'm going to use DST, one of our clients, as a great example. We actually just did a program for them back in June. Like most companies, most health IT companies, they knew they had to be at the show. They knew as they looked at their qualified leads in the past that most of their buyers don't actually go to the floor. Most of their buyers go to education sessions, they go out to dinners, but very rarely do they actually go to the trade show floor. So as they stepped back and said, okay, we know we have to go from an investor and analyst perspective, how could we be more effective with our dollars? And so one of the things that we presented to them is, or how do we get outside the floor? If it's about driving brand awareness, because one of the things that was key to them is, even though they're biggest in the industry on their kind of segment of healthcare IT, very few people actually know about them. It's kind of interesting. It's like Northwestern Mutual, the quiet company. They kind of had that same philosophy. So the first thing we did is said, okay, how do we get off the floor? How do we get more people aware of your brand? And if it drives to the booth, great, but let's minimize the investment in the booth itself. So they were all on board with that, and that really takes...
And that made sense, right? Because they they can understand that logically, right?
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
They know most of their people aren't there, so why invest a lot of money in the booth itself if barely anybody's
And why
going
try
there?
To force fit it? I think that's really smart, instead of just trying to come up with some gimmick to force fit a bunch of bodies in the... Yeah, great.
Okay, so now you say, okay, they bought in a smaller booth, and now you have to, now the hard part, right? You got to come up with something that gets the right
people. Idea. Exactly.
That's Charlie's job.
Exactly.
Charlie, I got this Charlie. All beat up for you.
And you have a day to do it. Is there a problem with that? And how do we measure it? So that's really the first thing we said is, okay, we know we want to drive brand awareness, and we know we have to measure that in some way. How can we prove to the client that they had a greater brand awareness post-show? So one of the ideas we came up with off the floor was we thought about putting brand ambassadors across the city. So what we did is we hired 40 of these young kids, actors from Seattle, the show's in Seattle, branded them in DST stuff, and they had their the name of the campaign was Tell Us Where. So it applied, one, to the city and the convention. Conventioners could go up to any of these kids and say, where's the closest Starbucks or where's the convention hall? And they were there to help for free. But it also applied to their business. DST helps you take your business to the next place. So they would get into conversations frequently about, where's your business at? Where are you trying to take your business over the next 5 to 10 years. So it had a dual meaning to it. So these kids were throughout the city for 4 days, just providing direction and insight. Post-show, in terms of follow-up, in terms of the surveys, we did exit surveys at the end of the show. Over 90% of the people we interviewed mentioned DST unaided, and they mentioned specifically their brand ambassadors. So the biggest success of the show was actually not even the show itself. It was what happened outside the convention hall. So
now, in order to execute something like that, do you have to get permission of the show? Or do you just kind of guerrilla market this and say, hey, we're going to show up with, you know,
We just wing it, ask for forgiveness later.
Exactly.
And it actually touches on a great point. So associations are usually very controlling over that stuff. So one of the keys, by the way, to beating associations, so to speak, is to come up with ideas that are not on their sponsorship list. Most associations have a list of things that you can sponsor, you know, banners and all this stuff. Come up with things that aren't on that list. 9 times out of 10, they'll let you do them and they won't charge you for doing them. So it's a great way.
Because they see it as just another value add.
Yeah, it's something they didn't think about. They really don't know how to price it. Something like people, how are they going to charge you a sponsorship on people? They're not doing anything for it.
Right.
So, yeah, you always want to get permission. You always want to talk to them. But the key to getting their permission is to think of things that are outside the box, stuff they haven't thought of before.
And then so when you're working with a client at this level, you had explained this to them. This is totally outside their frame of reference of what historically they have done.
Yes.
Right. So what does that conversation look like?
It's interesting. We'll say it like that.
Remember all that money you spent on the booth?
Well,
you're not going to spend anywhere near that amount.
Buying people now. Yeah, and it was. It was a conversation with the CMO from the organization as well as the CEO. And the CMO is more progressive thinking, so it's a little bit easier. We had an advocate on our side, but trying to sell it into senior leadership, it was a little tough. I mean, we had to kind of cash in some equity we had built up with the company in the previous 6 months to have them allow us to do it. And they were nervous about it. But I think, give the leadership credit, they trusted us and our experience, at least for that one show. And it was a huge hit. I mean, the CEO of the organization had people coming up to her the entire length of the show saying, this is the best idea ever. I can't – and, I've, you know, we gave her credit for it. She should get credit for it. So, but, yeah, you need to cash in some of those relational equity chips.
Because
for sure.
I'm sure that part of their fear is I got 40 untethered – you know, 20-year-olds representing my brand, right? And they got to protect their brand.
They got to protect the brand.
That probably came up in the initial conversation. So talk to us a little bit more about legs after the show. Happening after the show. Because I'm like, Charlie, I think that's where you could really make or break your investment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just staying on that same example.
Yeah.
So one of the things the whole Tell Us Where campaign included was this map. So we created a digital map of Tell Us Where, and it included all these different places you could go in the industry and the market. And so we did a whole series of follow-ups. We did a call campaign. We did email. We did direct mail to a lot of these people that we had been in touch with. We obviously had the attendee list, so we could follow up with that as well. We also had great photography. So we used that a lot, is took a picture of the brand ambassador and sent that out as a part of the email campaign.
Nice.
It gained instant recognition to these people we were sending emails to. The exciting piece is we had response. You know, people would see that, they'd remember that campaign, and they would call back into the sales team at DST to find out some more information about what DST could do for them.
And then, so are you, is a victory from your end that level of follow-up? Like, it doesn't have to drill down to, well, then they purchased their service. Like, you are you?
Yeah.
Like, where's the line end for where you, what you're responsible for?
Yeah, it's moving them through the funnel. So wherever they are within the funnel, success is how many people do we move to the next stage in the funnel?
Mm-hmm.
For some of it, it might have been a sale, and that's a good success point, but it's just as valuable as getting somebody at the top of the funnel to come into the funnel as well.
So a stranger who's not in the funnel, who enters the funnel,
that's a
victory as
Absolutely.
Well. So is that part of when you're talking to them early on, you're kind of seeing what their funnel looks like and defining kind of the terms of engagement? And what the how you're going to measure success?
Yeah, exactly. And most companies these days have some type of CRM in place, most often Salesforce.com, some marketing automation software. So they really have good visibility about who's in the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, part of it's also selling to existing customers. It's a lot easier to sell more business to an existing customer than get new customers. So we can measure it that way, too.
So say, like client nurturing or like if maybe they were working with one division and now they're working with the second division.
Exactly. Yep, that's exactly it. Buying more products and services.
So your own sales and marketing, do you guys exhibit yourself, or does your phone ring enough now? You've been at it long enough, you got Charlie's Rolodex, or talk to us a little bit about your own sales and marketing. You got that thing pretty well dialed in by now, I guess, right, Charlie?
It's a work in progress. I started with Ryan about a year and a half ago, and we've come such a long way since.
You rescued him, what, about 18 months ago?
So, I'm sorry?
Yes. You rescued him 18 months ago?
I try to rescue him every day. the outreach part of what we do is one of the key areas we spend time in, because we've got to get the word out to everyone. And, you know, as Ryan was talking about what we did for DST in Seattle, you know, I always come back to, you know, what makes us different than the world I came from? You know, this is where we are different, because an exhibit house can't have a conversation about the things that we delivered for the most part, because as soon as the conversation goes to spend less money on a booth,
they've lost interest.
They're done.
Right. No, one thanks. Of their solutions isn't going to be take that big booth and make it a small booth.
Yep. They're never going to say that. So, you know, there's a conflict of interest going into it. And I think that's where we really shine, because we can have a conversation that's more balanced, because we're not being driven by the need to turn saws in a shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about the solutions we come up with, the results. We build everything based on research. We understand the demographic. We understand what the company is trying to accomplish, what their objectives are at the corporate level. We understand their strategy, and we align the tactics to support that. And it's some of the best work I've ever done. I don't like taking orders. So I'm actually a part of solutions now that really is gratifying.
Right, and just because you have a hammer, everything isn't a nail. You know, like the people who sell booths, that's what they do. So they want it to be bigger, more elaborate, and that may not be the right solution for the client.
It may not be. It could be.
Right.
But it may not be. And I think the process is the key, is, you know, the how deeply you dive into what the company is really trying to accomplish, why they're going to that show in the first place. And, you know, you, if the solution is a huge, elaborate branding environment, then that's what it is. But you won't know that unless you really engage them collaboratively and learn what you have to learn versus just taking an order to do a big elaborate booth.
Right. Now, do some people, is that what they do? They lean on the booth builders?
It's a combination. I think they, you know, companies try to do a lot of the work internally on the messaging, the content, which that they should. But, you know, you hire ad agencies to go out and, you know, to do your, you know, advertising, get your message out.
Right.
They don't do that internally. They collaborate with the agencies to do that. Well, I think the same thing applies to a trade show. You know, if you try to do it internally and you don't really know the drivers that really make the demographic that you're going after get engaged with you, then you've probably missed an opportunity. And, you know, I think that collaboration from us is where the real benefit lies.
Right. I would imagine that by working with you, you kind of have fresh eyes. You have an idea of kind of best practices from different companies that you've seen and demonstrated historically.
Well, yeah, it's not only that. We bring a lot of learning from a lot of industries just because, you know, throughout my career, I've heard, well, you know, how well do you know the industry? Well, the answer is kind of like, it really doesn't matter. I know people. You know, the people who are, you know, the drivers that influence a consumer to buy a consumer brand are no different than a buyer in the business world.
Right, because they're people too. So
they're exactly people too. So you've got to speak to them.
Right.
It's okay to know how you love your product, et cetera, but you've got to translate in a way that makes that buyer, your potential buyer, say, I want to be a part of this.
And you got to meet them where they are, right? You have to meet them where they are and then bring them into your circle. So what's on the horizon for you guys? Are you looking at maybe expanding and diving deeper into additional verticals? You obviously kind of got this this healthcare IT one pretty well dialed in. Are you looking at expanding, or what do you got in front?
We are expanding.
You are?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, great.
But we've identified healthcare and education as two
education.
Of our key
okay.
industries. The educational market, particularly higher education, is a very dynamic marketplace right now.
And they need the help.
I'm sorry?
They need the help.
They absolutely
right?
do.
I mean, seriously, they do.
They do, because they've gone from a very, it's a lot of it's government controlled and this and that, but not a lot of innovation, but innovation has made it now. Mm-hmm. And how we're teaching our children today is very different than how we taught them before. And you've got to get in front of that curve. And there's a lot of players out there that are bringing products to the market to try to meet that objective. But they don't always know the best way to do it. So we felt that was a really good fit for how we think.
So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, do you guys have a website? Before that, the people that you have to meet are the chief marketing officers? Is that the point of entry typically for you?
Yeah, it depends on the size of the organization, but either anybody in the C-suite, CEO, chief marketing officer would be the key up there, and then also down at the trade show and event managers as well.
Now, what's the pain they're having where they're like, I got to call Ryan and his team?
Yeah, so it depends at the different levels, right? At the C-suite, it's going to be, we're spending a lot of money. We don't know what kind of return we're getting for this money. We're not growing fast enough. It's usually a revenue growth issue that we find. They know trade shows is a key part of that, part of the symptom. On the trade show and event manager side, they're more interested in on time and on budget, which is good. We need that. So they're going to have issues with going over budget. They're going to have issues with things not being delivered, or maybe just the quality's not there from their current exhibit house.
All right. So now, website for you guys?
Absolutely. It's aclaroinc.com. It's actually, I'll mention this, it's Aclaro is Latin for clarity. So that's a lot of what we do for our clients. We bring clarity to our clients.
Nice.
So Aclaro Inc. is ACCLAROINC.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you both for being part of the show today.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.